Israel delivers a limited targeted strike back to Iran. The Biden administration goes silent after warning Israel to de-escalate. The Middle East war is in danger of escalating to a wider conflict now. Is Iran within weeks or short months of becoming a nuclear power? Lieutenant Colonel Sarjis Sangeri and Intel analyst Ilana Friedman discuss the next steps and end game in the Middle East. And then you see the House passed a $95 billion legislative package in a bipartisan vote, providing controversial aid to Ukraine and Israel. And then lawmakers voted 60-34 to reauthorize Section 702 FISA, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. Not everyone is happy about that. And who is behind the massive protest and uprisings all across America in support of Hamas terrorists and chants here in the U.S. of A.? Death to America. Patricia Antone says it is a call to war against Americans. It's all next on Viewpoint this Sunday.
Time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit, and bring forth real talk from real people about real news, providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation, all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint This Sunday.
Welcome to the weekend news magazine, Viewpoint This Sunday. It is Malcolm Out Loud here. Since October 7th, since that day, the situation in the Middle East has been extremely questionable. If the region would settle down or turn into something much greater indeed. Let's face it, Iran's proxies, they've been keeping this thing pretty hot. They've been targeting American military assets. There's been virtually no response, very limited, from the American government. And the world cries for humanitarian aid for Gaza. We see all of that. That's being played out in the light of day. Hezbollah to the north, of course, is a real problem. And then finally, Iran strikes April 13th. That kind of changed. That hadn't happened before, where they struck directly from their homeland right into Israel in this current day. And Israel now has returned the favor. It's kind of a tit for tat, a little bit of a handshake. People still wondering, you know, is this it or does something else happen next? Now, with all of this happening, when you look historically and you compare the world wars and things that have gone on in our history, and you see the Ukraine, Russia, you see the way things have lined up with China and Russia and Iran, North Korea, you know, call it what you may. And you see the other factors, and you see the leadership, and the void of leadership in the world. It surely is a timber box, isn't it now, for something much greater that could happen. And people have spoke about this, frankly. Hey, I want to start from a military standpoint, and we'll welcome on Sarjis Sangeri, is a retired lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Infantry Special Operational Forces. He's been at it for, well, a lifetime, it seems, as overseas deployments. And so... let's talk first here about Iran's attack there on April 13th. More than 300 drones, missiles. It became questioned, how would Israel respond? Public reports were that Biden told them to stand down and de-escalate. Of course, they felt they had to do something, and then they let the administration know before they struck. Give us a summary, size up of how you see the situation right now, the volatility of it, or do you see it settling down right at this moment, please?
Well, it's good to be back. On Monday, when I was in Washington, D.C., I was interviewed this past Monday, and I said it will be a win-win-win for Iran, for Israel, and also the United States administration, at least on a political level with their base. So that's where we are, right? Iran did finally launch against Israel after its diplomatic building was attacked, and then they had no choice to do so. Now, people would say, well, technically it doesn't become a diplomatic building if you're conducting terror operations, but one person's terror operation is another person's multi-planning, especially with Israel right now preparing to knock out somewhat of those 80 platforms and 140,000 missiles that are in southern Lebanon. So that's going to be the next focus for this operation for Israel to finally move its long strategic plan forward. So by attacking Israel and some of those drones, we're talking about some of the older stock that came in. You're looking at a 9-hour flight with some of them. It was very easy for Iran to turn around and say that we launched an attack against Israel while Saudi Arabia is signing economic deals with Israel in the long term between the Islamic nations of the world and the peoples. And at the same time, with Turkey, that is looking at being the next piece that will be introduced into the Middle East before the elections with a possible ground campaign. That is going to expand its footprint more than the 50 miles that it already has inside of northern Iraq.
Okay.
That Turkey itself is a NATO ally, and Erdogan has not done nothing on the concepts of the expansion of that caliphate to help the Muslim nations.
Yeah,
So
why is
Iran
that?
doesn't
Hold
have
on. Why is that?
capacity.
Why is that with Erdogan and Turkey? Why hasn't he?
Well, he still has to settle his papers and agreements with the West. And I think the only way he's going to be able to do it is if he agrees that the level, of the Islamic push, given the fact that Muslim Brotherhood is, really has roots in Israel with him. I'm sorry, I should say in Turkey with him, that maybe there's going to be a different version of that Islam that he's projecting of a more secular Islamic type
Okay.
of
All right. All right. Let me ask you this now.
philosophy.
Let me ask you this. With the situation with Iran, it's a serious question here now. Let's think about this strategically, the geopolitical atmosphere there. If Iran, this is a big if, but if Iran was out of the picture, and we know everybody understands they're the instigators, they are the evil force there. But if that was it, what about the rest? I keep hearing a lot of reports about the rest of the players. We know what Trump was doing with the Abraham Accords. We know what else was happening with Saudi Arabia. There was actual talk about the elusive peace. If that was out of the picture, what would happen? Would the Middle East settle down to some degree, or is that just not even with Iran out of that picture? What happens?
Well, it's just how the actors would change would be different. You probably would see a larger return back to that so-called Ottoman Empire before the Sykes-Picot as Ottoman Empire broke apart. Keep in mind that that was a contractual agreement between the French and the British, which ended a number of years ago, just before Trump made his first visit to the Middle East for his first foreign trip. And I was we were asked, my team, to actually brief the folks at the State Department for what we believed would be the next reshaping. And so two other characters at that time were the ones that would have to reshape a new Sykes-Picot. It would be United States and Russia. We've kind of fumbled through it, to be honest, because the executives just been all over the map. So I think what you're seeing is a possible reshaping of that, and really the contractual obligations of the country started 25 years before the Sykes-Picot ran out. So we are where we are, but I
All right.
wanted to finish that one point. As I said, it was a win-win-win for everybody, and Israel's win is the fact that we could reach out and touch you if you want to through your defense systems. But Israel needs the United States to conduct some of these larger missions. It cannot do it
Okay.
by itself.
All
I know
right.
that the Israelis say we can, but
When you say a win-win-win for everybody, a lot of people would push back on that, Colonel, because I would almost, and let me just ask you straight. I mean, isn't it more delay, delay, delay? Isn't the inevitable going to be the inevitable out there? I mean, is it really a win-win-win, or is it if you're just trying to stave off the immediate problem? Sure, the Biden administration would look at it that way, but isn't it a delay, delay, delay from the inevitable out there?
well, yeah, I mean, every nation has a strategic plan, right? I think right now it's still a win for Israel's strategic plan. It cannot jump forward into Iran. It has to clear out all these enemies that it has. You're talking about it, this win-win-win started also with Trump administration killing Soleimani, who had established the so-called possibilities of attack points into Israel. You're talking about somewhere around 20,000 possible enemy combatants that would be
Right.
even in Jordan to be used in the Transjordan area. So you have to clear out Gaza, then you got to clear out the Hezbollah, then you got
It's
to
a
deal with
process, you're saying.
Jordan
It's a
initially. So it's
process.
a process. So
Yeah.
for that, is someone, can it go bad? Yes, it could go, south in a heartbeat.
All right.
So.
Here's the juggler I want to get to before we move this conversation along here. The big, big elephant in the room everybody's always talking about is the nuclear Iran, nuclear Iran. Now, I've been hearing specific reports from military folks that they are this close now to be on that nuclear force. How close? We're talking, or at least they're saying now using terms like weeks and really short months, like they're right on the cusp of that. Is that an accurate statement? Yes or no?
I would say is an accurate statement based on how it's being approached. Iran's being approached, but Iran would eventually have to be a nuclear power. I think everybody understood it. The ones who didn't want to see it really were the Russians and the Chinese, detrimental to them. But at this point, with Russia getting closer to Iran, I think they're much more closer
So
to
you're saying, I
possibly
never heard
being nuclear.
someone say what you just said. You're saying the inevitability of Iran being a nuclear power is a reality, you're saying.
It is. I mean, the first people who helped them under the Shah were the Israelis because they realized Iran is surrounded by nuclear powers. Russia to the north, Pakistan to its west, India a country removed, China a country removed, North Korea two countries removed. Everybody around Iran, to include Israel, is a nuclear power. So it made geographic reality from a strategic standpoint of Iran being a nuclear power that could be a benefit to both the West to counter China and Russia, or to the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, which China is a lead for that Iran is in to counter the West.
Okay. Now you see that, did I get somewhere out of what you just said that you were saying specifically that could be a benefit to Israel?
If there's a long-term plan that you're going to see a change in the regime in Iran, Iran it would be more Western looking. It may be a possibility, I'm not saying a reality, but possibility that Israel will be the lead nation in the Middle East with US pulling out and the strongest and the lead for the Near East in the long term.
Okay, all right. That's a lot of what ifs there. But let me ask you this: with the Ayatollah there, and with the regime that has done the damage they've done since 1979, what are we looking at? If that regime has a nuclear weapon, wouldn't they use it on Israel?
That's a long-term discussion we have to have some other time. But just because they have it doesn't mean to use it. But as we always say in the Middle East, when you purchase a toy, you're going to play with it.
Well, these people, pretty much, I think, that's what they seem to live for is to die. So it's really not a second thought to these kinds of folks. I think that's a reality of it. And would Israel allow them to have a nuclear weapon at that point? Or because I was under the impression from experts that would say that Israel would strike first, Colonel, if that ever happened, that they would strike first, that they would never trust Iran with a nuclear weapon. Is that an accurate or inaccurate statement?
Israel would, I think, would make sense, but Israel's not at a point right now. Maybe they kind of showed that they can, but again, Israel would need U.S. backing and others. Even knocking down 99% of what was launched old stock against Israel, you still had U.S. knocking down targets, U.K., Jordanians knocked down some targets over their airspace. So it takes a team effort. And in this case, Israel doesn't really trust, I hate to say it, whether or not US is there 100%.
All right. All right, Colonel, stay right there. Let me bring on to the conversation now. Ilana Friedman joins me. Ilana's a veteran intelligence analyst, advisor on intelligence-led counterterrorism solutions. He has spent a lot of years in Israel, understands much of that makeup as well. Ilana, as we're talking to Colonel Sargent, they were discussing this nuclear activity, and you and I have talked plenty over the years about this, to be sure. I've always understood that if they had it, they're going to use it kind of thing. You heard the comments from Colonel Sangeri there a moment here. I would venture to say you probably have a different opinion on that.
Well, I understand what Colonel Sangari is saying, and I understand that perspective, but I think the Israeli perspective is a little bit different because Israel is now fighting a forefront war. And this is something that Israel is doing with everything it has and with the help of the United States and the partial help of the United States. They have the support of much of the Congress, so they will get their funding that they need for for more munitions and so forth. But the help that Israel is getting from Washington is mixed. The president is talking essentially out of both sides of his mouth. On the one hand, he says that we will support Israel we have Israel's back, in other words. And on the other hand, he is trying to limit in every way the ability of Israel to fight the battle that it has to fight.
Oh, yeah. And so that's been from day one, that point that you bring up there. So let me get to the point of the nuclear ban now. As I understand, correct me on this here, are you, with your intelligence now, as our member a year or two ago, you were saying, I remember you and others on this network were telling me how close Iran was. I'm hearing again from other sources and military sources that they're talking weeks and very limited months. I mean, they're right on the threshold of having that. Number one, is that accurate? And number two, if they have it, do they use it? Yes, no, what?
Well, yeah, I think yes. I think they are likely to, because they are driven by an ideological madness that doesn't look at reality the way we do. Right. And they believe, the absurdity of it is that what they call their second or third most holy place in the world is the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem, and a nuclear attack on Israel would obliterate it. So it's not based on logic, Malcolm. It's based on this ideology, which takes the form of a real madness. It's an insanity.
Right. We know. Yeah. I think everybody knows that. But this is being played out in real life now. It's not just a college term.
No matter, because to them, the final mission is the coming of Mahdi. You know, they don't see reality the way we do at
we
all.
Understand. Yeah, I think our listeners understand that. I don't even want to spend any time on that because everybody knows that. Everybody's got it. Everybody understands it. We really do know what their makeup is and who they are. But back to I'm really more interested in the current status. Here's what I'm wondering, Ilana. All right, so they do this limited strike back, Israel. Everybody was saying, you know, there's two sides of the conversation who won that limited strike back. Oh, it was brilliant. It was stupid. I hear all kinds of things from all kinds of experts. But, you know, and you said in your piece, let me see here, you said it showed Iran two things, that Israel is a force to be reckoned with and it could not be so easily defeated, and that the world would not stand still for a mortal attack against the tiny Jewish state by Iran. That was in your op-ed on AmericaOutloud.news. How many wars can Israel fight and still win? Now, so they did these little pinpricks, whatever that did, tit for tat kind of thing. Everybody's wondering now, do you think it settles down now or do you think something else happens? Or you really don't know, but what's your gut?
Well, everybody knows. And it really plays on what I said before, because we have a very difficult time understanding the mindset of the Ayatollah and his lackeys. And we don't, and he has a very strong IRGC, which does his bidding. And so the fact that he sent, you know, so many missiles and drones, over 300 drones and missiles aiming at Israel, 99% of them were shot down before they ever reached Israel. Right. And the fact that they're willing to do that without understanding what the consequences might be is an example of how absurd our trying to rationalize them based on our system of logic.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. But listen, you say people don't have a real good understanding and what have you. Listen, you know, myself, even as a layman and a student of the game here, I have a pretty good understanding of what they want to do here and what they're, I mean, just look at what they've been doing in going after U.S. military assets and the weakness that this administration has shown, which has really created the bigger part of the problem here and has allowed this thing to progress as it's progressing. And so so this, you know, maybe in the second or the moment, maybe this win, but I look at it as a delay. And until, and I think people are, you know, what really irritates, I think, a lot of people, Alana, is that until people are really willing to become adults in the room and face up to the point of what we're dealing with here, and they're not doing that, obviously, this problem is going to take over the world. There's, you can see it right there. You just look at the way they've conducted themselves since October 7th and before October 7th. Is that accurate?
Yes, it is. And more than that, I think that another attack by Iran, once they feel that they have the power to do so, is inevitable.
I think so too. And what I'm wondering, Ilana, is this. This is a hard question, but a simple question, really. So, knowing all what you just said, Israel knows all of it. They've got some of the best thinkers there in the world. They know what they're doing, we think. They're there. So when they do these little pinpricks, they know what Iran's going to do. They know where the world is. They know what Biden's doing, all of this. So, I mean, when do they go in for the kill? Do they wait till they're right on the crust of being blocked off the neighborhood there and cut off? Or why don't they do something more serious? And people, I know I would ask Colonel that as well here in a moment, but he'll say, well, they're just not in a position to do that, blah, 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 blah. I mean, but you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm asking?
I do, but I think you need to understand that Israel, first of all, Israel is not monolithic. It's a very messy democracy.
Yeah.
So there's an awful lot of ideas and counter ideas, and Israel gets stuck in the mud very frequently. So in terms of making this kind of decision, it's difficult to know what the outcome will be. But more important is the fact that Israel is not going to start a war with Iran. Israel is going to respond as it did in a very minor way, if Iran attacks. Iran didn't hurt Israel at all. Israel had
understand.
No.
Yeah,
there was one person was killed in this.
Well, here's what happened. Israel and Colonel, let me get you back into this, please, Colonel Sangari, as well. Stay right there, Alana. Let's keep talking here. But okay. You know, they're not. This delay in what's happening here. I mean, I get it. It's all strategic on the battle plans, on the layout of this area, what's happening. But this has been going on all our lifetimes. It's going to continue to go on after our lifetimes, I guess, until somebody addresses the real problem out there. I have a suspicious feeling, as I think you probably do, Colonel, that this is not going to end well. Let's just be real. It's not going to end well out there, is it?
No, war never ends well. And right now you have Israel and Iran in a position that all they could do is lob stuff at each other. Right. When you're throwing stuff at each other, the only thing you could do is escalate. Mm-hmm. So first of all, on the strike that Israel conducted, it's a good strike. It is good diplomatically and it's good strategically from a military standpoint. It resets somewhat the brain house grouping of the Iranian Ayatollahs, who are more worried about surviving the regime and keeping it in place than could care less about what Hezbollah might be able to achieve victory-wise.
But if we really want to fix the problem, why don't we get together? There's no way to do it with the current administration, but if there was a good administration here in the States, Colonel, why wouldn't there be a coalition put together to put Iran, to get the Ayatollah, to get that regime the hell out of there? That's the only answer to it, isn't it?
Yeah, yes, it's the answer. Everybody in Iran hates the regime. Everybody is sick of them. Most of them are sick of Islam. The problem is the Ayatollah has the weapons. Mm-hmm. United States, the way we funnel money through our systems, technically everything at the end comes out purple. If we wanted to, we could rebuild Iraq. We could settle the issues in Panama. We could do everything. We choose not to. And that's something that decision makers decide on.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. Right, stop, full stop right there. What you say there is, I mean, That's important for people to hear. We choose not, listen to those words. Everybody just stop what you're doing. We choose not to. There's a lot to what you just said. And you begin to unravel it and you wonder why that is, because it gets to a whole lot of other stories here. Let me move it along right now. This whole concept of, I remember as a young kid, peace in the region, peace, peace. We're so tired of hearing that. It, obviously, they're out to kill each other, and there is no peace. It does not, that word does not exist in their vocabulary, and we see that with their actions very clearly. This funding package with the House now, $95 billion. Everything's in billions and trillions now and gazillions. But $95 billion package, the House has pushed through. It'll get right up to Biden now. It's being pushed right through the whole Senate. It's 316-94. Definitely, it was a procedural vote. Democrats jumped right on there immediately, which is how they got it through, because many Republicans did not and opposed it. Obviously, everybody needs money. They all need money. We don't even have the money, but we give the money anyways. We print more up out of thin air. But this is what they need. So we're like, you know, it's weird, Ilana. We're like the headmasters of a wicked game, of a bad game of evil chess. We print this money up. I'm just thinking, I'm looking at the visionary in my head. We're like the evil chess master. We print all this money up, bing and a bing and a bing. We don't have the freaking money to do anything with. We're bleeding Americans dry everywhere else. And then we throw it around the world, piss everybody off, and we give people enough. We give the winners and the losers the money to fight each other. What's going on with our, I mean, how insane is all this?
It is totally insane. It's just, if you look at the conversations between these guys, they're ridiculous. They don't know how to come together. They don't know how to negotiate. They don't know how to reach some kind of an agreement that actually will work. And they're hell-bent for leather to spend as much money as they can, so we keep printing it. And that is insane, because it's going to totally bankrupt our entire country.
That's already done it. I mean, we're $34 trillion plus in debt with everything else going. It's already doing it. I mean, we don't have the assets to really pull this off. I mean, the funding, and Americans are being squeezed like unbelievably so. And they want more. They just want to keep asking for more, Ilana. They're like, it's totally out of hand. And at some point, the American people, we're having our own struggles here. We're having our own moments here, aren't we now, Ilana, you know, with
We are. And there's a tremendous amount of anger in this country.
That's right.
And
that's right.
See it in the streets. And it's anger, which is totally educated. These are many of the people. Most of the people in the streets are pro-Hamas.
And you know, Ilana, we can't even save ourselves right now. How the hell are we going to save the world? You can't answer that, but I'm just putting it out there to be a smart guy here. So we can't even save ourselves at this very, very moment, and yet we're asked to save the world. These are precarious times, my fellow Americans. They are very, very precarious indeed with what has taken place here. And then we see chants to death to America all over America. I'm not talking about in Iran now or the Middle East. They're happening right here on 5th and Main Street, you understand, in the neighborhood. It's no longer about just wanting the manger scene down, but now it's death to America right here at home constantly. You see the uprisings that are happening. They're getting out of hand. There's a lot behind these uprisings, though, that you don't know. It's not all the facade that's being put out there that people think, my golly, friends, people have got to wake up. It's way too organized. It's a well-oiled machine. And it all plays to this bigger narrative. In the meantime, they've got Trump in court. They're banging him up pretty good. In fact, just the other day, last day or so, my wife looked at me and said, my God, he doesn't look good. Looks like hell, Malcolm. I said, well, what do you suspect? Look what they're doing to him. I mean, they're doing a complete shakedown physically, mentally. I mean, you might as well put him in a torture chamber. Now, he's trying to put on a face, of course, when it comes out to the American people, but he's being banged up pretty good. This was always the plan, though, wasn't it? And this is only round one, by the way. There's a whole lot more rounds of this to come on between now and November. You think the plan of the Marxist left and what they have going on now is working, my fellow Americans? Pretty sad state of affairs, isn't it? Here, yeah. All right, we're going to talk a lot more about that in just moments here. I want to keep here Colonel Sergeant Gary on with me for a moment. Going to keep Ilana Friedman right here. We've got other folks going to join us in just a moment here. I want to take just a moment. Let's all take a deep breath here, and as we regroup. And, you know, I really wanted to do a little bit of a deep dive on this Middle East. I think it's a point of insanity. And so you begin to ask questions that nobody is asking. That's what I attempt to do here, friends, on Viewpoint this Sunday. Don't have all the answers, and they are difficult questions, but delay, delay, delay is not a strategy. You know, not by my standards. It's not. We're just delaying the inevitable. And until we face what's got to be done, this fight of good and evil hangs in the balance of our existence, really and truly. So AmericaOutloud.news is the place I'd love you to get to and share the out loud truth. Many voices, one freedom, united in the First Amendment. There are a lot of voices here. There's a lot of opportunities to get it right. A couple of big pieces. How many wars can Israel fight and still win? Ilana Friedman is a really well done op-ed. I thought she nailed a lot of good points in there. Also, this wonderful piece that went up here in the last day or so from Dr. Peter Breggin and Ginger Breggin, Anti-Semitism Becomes Personal to the Breggins. They did a whole show on this on America Out Loud Pulse. I want you to go listen to that show. They are as passionate as two people I've ever seen in my life. And of course, they are very protective of the Jewish state and Israel, of course. But they nail it down. I'm going to do something with them just ahead on anti-Semitism. But go read that piece. It's a short read there, but listen to that program they did. It was just the two of them. Very personal story they did on this anti-Semitism in our nation here. So also coming up just after the pause here, friends, will be this a lot of these protest uprisings happening, Death to America. Patricia Antone will be joining us in moments here. And as she says, it's not a political position. It's a call to war against Americans. And we have a lot of this happening right here in our own country here. So that's part of the problem we're dealing with here. I'm going to remind you as well, before we begin here, to visit us there, share the Out Loud Truth, continue to do that. And of course, AmericaOutloud.shop has all the great products to keep you healthy and happy. And stay away from all the flus and viruses and bird flus and monkey threats and everything else they're throwing at us. My golly, just fighting off all the bad stuff here. All right, stay right there, friends, and we'll join you just in a moment here on Viewpoint this Sunday.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
The Wellness Company shares your values and fights for medical freedom. They put patients before profits and follow medical science, not political science like doctors on the left. Their chief medical board, which includes Dr. Peter McCullough, are the makers of the incredible American-made high-quality spike formula. If you worry about spike proteins, go to twc.health and use promo code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount. Once again, that's twc.health, promo code OUTLOUD.
Don't accept joint aches and stiffness as part of aging. Doctors at Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexibility. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a gel you swallow. Get 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com. Code out loud.
You wouldn't go a day without brushing your teeth or washing your hands. What about washing your nose? I mean, your nose does filter the air you breathe, air loaded with bacteria, viruses, and irritants. Make nasal hygiene part of your routine with Clear. No messy bottles to fill, no drowning sensation. Clear is a natural drug-free saline with the added benefit of xylitol, which blocks bacterial and viral adhesion. Available in stores and online at clear.com. That is XLEAR.com.
When God, through his grace and mercy, gave us free will, the will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutloud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all. Joined you back here on Viewpoint this Sunday. It is indeed Malcolm Out Loud here and privileged to be with you always, my fellow Americans, even under these dire situations. I'd love to get on here one day and talk about some happy stuff. I don't know what day that will be. It'll happen in our lifetimes. I'm not sure. But it is elusive. And what's elusive is the elusive state of peace is what I'm headlining this talk today on. It continues to evade the world. And it continues to evade all of us in this fight of good and evil that we are beset with here, that we're dealing with. So we're seeing these protests that are happening. They've gotten very ugly. They're very suspicious. Really downface ugly. But they're using vocabulary we haven't even heard before. They're doing things. They're putting it right out there. They're brazen. They know that even if, in the remote chance they do get arrested, well, it's just a matter of minutes and hours. They're back out on the street. So there is no fear there. That's been erased. That's from all the DAs and the fight against the law enforcement in our country, the weakening of our societal platform here. All that's taken place, and it's put us in a very difficult situation here. These uprisings now, let me bring on here, Patricia Antone joins me now. Patricia's an author, great author, actually. She's an activist, a constitutional conservative, and keeps her finger on the buttons on a lot of these stories, but looks deep into them. That's what I love about her reporting on things. It doesn't stay on the surface, but that's what you got to do today, friends, on these stories. You got to connect the dots a little bit to really understand. Patricia, let's do a little dot connecting on this this death to America, these chants that are happening here in the homeland. I guess what I want to ask you here right up front is these chants, you say in your op-ed, we may reasonably suspect that previous events were driven by the agenda to destroy Western nations and replace their sovereign governments with a global regime. But about this event, there can no longer be any doubt. These uprisings that are very strong, you see what's happened at Columbia University, but it's happened at all the universities all over the place, coast to coast. Who is behind this? Let's get to the point. It's not these young kids, these young turds that are really brilliant behind this. Who's doing it?
It's not organic at all. There's an organization called A15 Action, and they actually have a website, A15Action.com, and they are openly organizing road blockades and bridge blockades. And the purpose, the stated purpose of this, is to undermine Western capitalist societies. So they are openly saying their purpose is to undermine capitalism in the Western world, and they claim to be doing it on the basis of Palestinian solidarity. But the truth is that the stated purpose of undermining our society and causing collapse they're a terrorist organization. The difference between a terrorist organization and a political lobbying group or somebody who would protest, a protester is somebody who lobbies the government, governmental agencies. They protest and they address their complaints and concerns to the people who are making decisions, right? And the difference between them and a terrorist organization is that a terrorist organization aims at the civil society, aims at the civilians, aims to take down society. So this is every bit a terrorist organization, and it's openly conspiring against us on the web.
Say their name again, please. Say their name again.
A15 Action.
That's it, A15
and
Action.
And you can reach that website, and you can see the breadth. It's an international organization. It's in part funded by Soros organizations, but it's all over the world. Their whole purpose.
Okay, so let me drill down here. So what we're saying now, and you're telling me, is that they're utilizing, like a lot of these things, they take the spark of the moment. And it's just like this all happened with the Black Lives Matter movement and the George Floyd thing. That was the spark. So they took the Hamas October 7th SPAR and they said, oh, there's a juicy opportunity to offset the world and create chaos worldwide. And they're doing it here in America. Is that what the deal is?
Precisely. Precisely. That is exactly what they do. And but the long-term goal of these organizations is always the same, and that is to take down Western democracies, Western capitalist societies. That's what they're always trying to do.
And this ain't a thesis anymore. We used to talk about this stuff like a strategy, a thought or something, but it's happening now, Patricia.
It's a stated purpose now. I mean, when Black Lives Matter actually put the destruction of the nuclear family on their website. Now, they later took it off, but it was out there too.
Right.
So it's openly stated as a goal now.
Well, let me ask you, why is it from when we were kids to now, why are they getting away with it? I'm sure there's an answer for this. Why are they getting away with it now and they didn't then?
Leftist ideology seeks to undermine the capacity for discernment. In other words, we're going to tell people that it's not okay to discern legal from illegal, squatter from renter, a person who is stealing from a person who is buying groceries, you know, where discernment itself is said to be immoral. And when that happens, people aren't capable of reason. So the judgment that would otherwise attend that kind of behavior just isn't made. We have become literally morally confused. Our system of logic has been so beset by ideology.
Well, when you say confused, I've been thinking as you were talking just a minute ago here, I don't think it's confusion at all. I think they know full well. And I'm talking about I think the problem is, or maybe I should ask you back, but is this is a lack of any real credential to leadership in America, both left and right. We're getting really bozos in D.C. that are making horrible decisions for us. I don't think they're confused at all. This appears to be a very intentional plan from the elite in this nation. Yes,
I believe that. I believe the governing class is totally intentional about this, and their whole entire purpose is to aggregate power to a central authority.
Yeah,
I believe that. But I also believe that the path to getting there, in order to get the masses behind them, or at least not fighting them, is to dumb it down in every possible way.
Oh, they've done that well. There's no doubt about that. They are brilliant in that capacity, Patricia. Okay, stay right there. I want you to stay right in the conversation here. I want to get Colonel Sangheri back on this topic here. Sangheri, what do you know about this and what Patricia has just shared with us? What do you know about these uprisings and the claims that she's putting right out there? This is more a global movement, really to create a global caliphate, I guess you'd call it. What do you say to that?
Well, I mean, look, as it was stated, the money drives the train, first of all. If there's no money behind it, you won't have any of these organizations operational. So money is behind it. Without money, ideology means nothing. As stated, on both sides of the aisle, there's individuals who say that a much more centrally controlled, stronger federal government is a better way of managing the United States in the long terms when it comes to what it wants to do overseas, rather than giving the people the right to be able to basically, under the Constitution, to have a much more root level say when it comes to their representative government. So if the representative government can be swayed by dollars, why not? Might as well just make a much more stronger central government that is ruled by some folks with much more capabilities with dollars in their pockets to be able to do global business.
Ilana, let me bring you in on this talk here as well with these groups. We've talked plenty over the years about these hostilities and these sort of aggressive groups out there. You hear the conversation on these chants of death to America, the group that Patricia Antone was just sharing with us as well. There's an uprising here. And, you know, I think I've shared with you before, Lana, you know, I was told even, 10, 15 years ago about this movement to globalism in the world and in our country. And I really was hard to believe back then. It was hard to fathom that was really a thing. But by golly, it seems to be a thing today on all the basis of the stories we talk about. What do you say about these groups?
I think that there are actually two parallel paths that are If I'm not sure if they're working together, they seem to be. I've been trying to do some research and dig into this. And the two organizations that come to mind right away is A15 Action. They're a relatively new organization, okay, because the other organization is CARE, which was founded in 1994. And CARE is an arm of Hamas. And their mission, which was written in a very detailed outline just shortly after they formed themselves, is to take over the United States and make it a Muslim country, compliant with Sharia law. So what we have is a more global, a globalist, one nation, you know, government plan, and the other is a specifically Islamic plan.
And Lana, that statement you just said about CARE, that was interesting in their goal. And I know that, but let me ask you, is that in writing anywhere, or is that subjective to something that you're saying?
It's in writing. I wrote a book about it.
Right, I know you wrote the books, but so why? So is it safe to say, I'm going to a point here, is it safe to say that our leaders and our government, that everybody knows that it's in writing what you just said, that that is the mandate of CARE? Is that accurate or not?
It is accurate that it is the mandate of CARE, but it's hidden. And most people in government either don't know or don't care or ignoring it.
Right. You see where I'm going. I'm wondering, you know, we got such stupid people in power here. Really.
Malcolm, look at this. The man who was the CEO of CARE was a Hamas member. Mm-hmm. And he attended the 1993 secret meeting of leading Hamas organizers in Philadelphia. And they came up with this plan to create an organization which would pass as a social service. They call themselves the NAACP of the Islamic Society. And they have formed hundreds of organizations on campus to carry out this mission. And he is, I don't believe he is a certified member of Hamas anymore. I don't think he can be, but he's still carrying their water for them and doing everything he can to support what's going on in our city streets now.
Okay, all right. Well, let me,
if I can jump in here.
Please, go ahead, Colonel.
The folks up in state and government just don't care. When I led the Australian force structures in both Syria and Iraq between 2014, 2017 to fight against ISIS, one of our commanders was ambushed by YPG, which is a Kurdish communist group going into a meeting. At that time, Antifa US and Antifa Europe were on the ground supporting that organizational structure, getting a lot of training out of it. In this case, the YPG, the Kurdish group that is a communist organization. All that information was provided to state, but I'm going to tell you, they don't care. That's the bottom line. They don't care. They have a mission, they're focused on it. And if they could use those organizations to their benefit, they'll use them. Okay. And if they don't need them, they could care less. You have to deal with it.
All right, let me ask you about, Colonel, let me stay with you, and then I want to go to Alana and Patricia on this topic as well. I want to talk about Pfizer a brief moment here. The Senate did pass the bill. It is a thing now. And so Section 702, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, very controversial. The only saving grace, if there's any, and I don't know that there is or not, but instead of a 5-year, it's going to be a 2-year thing. Now, this, of course, is the same group that they do everything carte blanche. They give, the FBI and the operatives carte blanche, whatever they want, they get. It's a loose end court. It's not a court. I mean, it's ridiculous what it is. It's like the genie coming out of the bottle. I'll grant you your wish. And they keep granting wishes. That's how they got after Trump. And they bamboozled him and did really bad things there back at the 2016 election. We know that for sure. Now they want their rights back. They want to have this extended. A lot of Republicans were against it. Many of them got sucked in, as they always do, and they went ahead with it. It's just a good thing, a bad thing. We get the foreign adversary part of it, Colonel, but that's not really the problem. It's the foreign adversary thing. The enemies right here at home and the domestic enemies, and they're the ones that are using these tools to screw us over. What do you say to that?
Well, they are. Look, a gun is a tool. In the hand of a criminal, he kills people and robs them. In the hand of someone who's a good person, he protects his family and takes care of others. Yeah. These individuals are out there that have used FISA for their wants and desires, again, fall into the same narratives of everything we have been talking about. They have a mission, and if that mission says, I have to destroy Trump to control him, in order to reset a stage for what my long-term plan is, and so be it. That's what they will do. Yeah, so, yeah. I can't read into somebody's mindset and their mentality. I think FISA in itself has gone through a number of changes to be able to control it for the betterment of the Americans in the long term, but unfortunately, it is what it is. If you're going to play with it, it's a sword that cuts both ways.
Well, they didn't do a lot of changes this last time other than the 5 and 2, but I will say this. They are hoping, I will tell you now, having to talk to folks up there, they are hoping to overhaul it. If Trump wins the president, they want Trump. Trump was the one that was most oppressed and obliterated by this FISA thing. It's very personal to him. And I understand that. Everybody should understand that, what's happened to all Americans, really. But they're looking and hoping that he will overhaul the thing, which is why they only got a 2-year deal here. Ilana, being an intelligence person yourself, you know, there's good and bad in everything. I understand that. But let's keep this real tight. I want to move this along here. But do you think it's was this a good thing or a bad thing with FISA? Because, again, the domestic people have hijacked it. What do you think?
Well, I think the people have hijacked it. So I would say that it's the product of a very, very corrupt process that's led in this case by Chuck Schumer and supported by some of his, his closest followers, and they made it happen. I think we saw what's wrong with the FISA process at the beginning of Trump's presidency.
Oh yeah, big time,
and
big time.
I think it's just going to go downhill from here because it's in the hands of people who are deeply corrupt.
Right. Well, it's like the Patriot Act after 9/11. You just give these people a little power, and Patricia, I'll get you in here. You give them a little bit of power and you can, as they say up in the New York area, forget about it. You can forget about it because they're going to come after you 3 ways to Sunday. And that's what they've done with this. It's what they're doing with the other. You know, it's just constant. I'm not sure FISA, I'm not even sure it's the foreign adversaries is our biggest threat right now, Patricia. Is it more the domestic concerns we should be worried about?
I think what we have to worry about is an unaccountable exercise of power.
Yeah.
And the extent to which power aggregates to a central authority is directly proportional to the amount of accountability it has, right? And FISA is the most extreme case of unaccountable power that we've yet devised. So, I think it's a complete disaster that has not been abolished.
Okay. All right. I want to take these few minutes. I've got maybe about 4 minutes left. I want to go right around the room with each of you, and I want to do this here. Looking at the condition, I told listeners a little bit earlier here, looking at the condition, we talked about the 2024 election right now, and looking at what they're doing to Trump right now in New York with the Alvin Bragg case and the hush money deal and all of that. Boy, that is getting off the rails real quick, and it's just started here. They are really wearing him down pretty quickly here. Does he get to the end? Ilana, let me go with you first here on this. Does he get to the, what does your gut tell you about Trump? But 3-4 weeks ago, people were telling me they thought, okay, things are looking pretty good. He's going to, his polls, everything else, and he's going to get into the White House. But it looks like these trials are going to really, pile on here now. You think he could get there still, or do you think this thing is beginning to look a little weak?
I don't know. They are really beating him down, and he is trying to stand up and do his thing. But as you said earlier, he looks pretty bad, and he's human. My gosh, how he has taken all this. I had the the belief that maybe he just enjoys the contest. But I think that it has it is really taking a turn, and I'm not sure where.
Yeah, it's hard to say anybody would enjoy this, but I do hear you loud and clear, Alana, for sure. Colonel Sergeant St. Gary, what do you say to that question I put out there about Trump?
Well, he's going to go through this gauntlet. And, you know, right now, again, we'll find out on in November whether he's the new president. But with that said, I think the individuals who are going to be advising him, even in the next administration, I don't think they, I think for it's to their benefit, I hate to tell you, some of them, for them to go through this because they think that this process, they might be able to control them better. And the long-term state folks are looking past both Biden and Trump anyway. Yeah, so they use this as a means and a ways of controlling any executive.
Colonel, there were people who said to me in my ear some time ago, they said this, it's not going to be Biden or Trump in the White House in November specifically. Is that possible, Colonel?
Well, I'm not, I can't go down that one. But what I will tell you is that however it is, even if there's somebody, whoever is a figurehead as the presidency, we've come to a point where the control of the executive has been much more easier going back since Eisenhower. And I think after Eisenhower, pretty much it was a push to control as much of all the executives as possible. Yeah. If you can compromise a legislator with dollars, control the executive, the rest would be the final.
And that's true. Always comes to money. You always say that, Colonel. Thank you. Patricia, last word on that point here about Trump. What's your gut tell you?
I think we're going to see a resurgence of clarity, of moral clarity in this country. And I think that it's going to be caused by the stark contrast that they are setting up and presenting to us.
So you hold on. You got me here now. You're talking about you're giving me some optimism here at the last hour. Is that correct?
I do. I have some optimism and it may not be for Trump himself personally, but I think that our country is being presented with such a stark contrast between what is moral and right and just and what is an aggregation of unaccountable power and that kind of thing. I think the contrast is going to create clarity in the minds of a lot of people.
So you think some moral clarity is on the menu and that it may not be as bad as we are feeling this moment, yes?
I think so.
Wow. Yes. Patricia, I just love the fact you put that out there, man. I have to tell you.
Malcolm, if I could actually come back from DC this past week, what she's talking about has already started in a lot of the circles when it comes to those kingmakers. So they're all for it.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what, you guys, that's a whole nother conversation I'd love to have with y'all. I have to tell you, I just am thrilled to hear you say what you say there. Well, all right. What I was worried about moments ago, my fellow Americans, is that, you know, we're talking about who's going to be in the White House in November. I said, well, it may not be Biden or Trump, but that was said to me in my ear some time ago now. I said, wow, because they both are the presumptive nominees now. You know, you almost question yourself and you say after this conversation today, who's going to be in the White House, right? It's not going to be Newsom or anything like that. Maybe Xi Jinping be in the White House. I don't know. You say, oh, come on, Malcolm. I don't know, friends. Maybe they'll give it to George Soros. Who knows? I mean, they're all doing it in the dark shadows. Maybe they come out in the light of day and tell us who's running the parade. It surely isn't Joe Biden. Now, maybe it is Barack Obama. Maybe he puts, maybe he puts his pet poodle in there. Who knows? I'm not sure. Boy, I'll tell you what, it gets slippery, doesn't it? But I do like what it ends with Patricia Anton, what she says there. God bless her for saying that, man. Now she said what she's really saying is, come on now, we're going to prevail here. We're going to win. And there's going to be some moral clarity. People are going to come get some brains and maybe do the right thing. Wow. What a novel approach that would be to life at this point in America in the year 2024. My fellow Americans, we have our work cut out for us, don't we? And it's all back at AmericaOutloud.news. Help us share the out loud truth back there as well and bring liberty and justice back to our land, back to our lives, and save our great nation and the world for future generations. Thank you for joining me on the mission here. It's time to get involved and get loud, America.